Thank you, Mr. Chairperson, and thank you to the delegate from France for those questions and comments. I'll begin by saying that to be called radical in my explanation and interpretation of international humanitarian law, that is a badge of honor that I am proud to wear, because I believe international law applies in space just as it applies on Earth. And you're quite right that in many areas, it would not be feasible to separate military from civilian functions. In many areas, that pulling apart would be impossible, and it would be futile to try to attempt it. But in many other areas, separation is not only feasible, not only legally required, it is morally justified to spare civilians the worst effects of armed conflict. And for me, the comparison to armed conflict in other domains is quite illustrative. That is, the army in every country builds and operates its own equipment. The army does not routinely say, well, we will just use civilian trucks. We will use civilians' personal armaments. We'll take their rifles and use civilians' rifles for armed conflict. Instead, the army builds, maintains, operates its own indigenous equipment. The Navy builds and operates its own ships. It does not say in a time of armed conflict, we'll just use civilian vessels for military purposes, and the Air Force and other services, the same thing. And I argue that the same thing should be applied in space, that when anticipating armed conflict in space, the military and the intelligence communities should build their own spacecraft and operate their own spacecraft for the performance of national security functions. And we know that it is feasible for them to do so because that is mostly what they are doing. Mostly, the national security communities use their own resources for the performance of communications and remote sensing and launch services. They also use civilian functions as an additional increment. And that's the part that I think is illegal and unwise. Thank you.